years and years, I wonder how a God so big and mighty like you could ever love someone so small and seemingly worthless as me. But then as I've grown older, I've come to understand, Father, that you love because that's your nature. That's who you are. You're a God of love. And that simply because you created me, you love me. And that's just so amazing. And you've loved us so much that you sent your son to die. I don't know how you could be so strong as to watch your son die on that cross, but you love so much that you did that so that we could be called your children. And we're so grateful that we are loved by you, and that's who we are. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We give you the glory as best we can this morning because you are worthy. You are a God. You are a God of love. And we give you the praise this day. And we thank you for your son who died on that cross, in whose name we pray this morning, in the name of Jesus. We love you. We give you the glory. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Thanks. You may have a seat. Would you thank the worship team for leading us this morning? If you have a Bible, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 is where we'll be starting off today. And as you're turning there, let me just give you one more quick announcement. In your bulletin, you'll notice that we are having a global mission project. One of our missionaries is the Hefner family in South Africa. I've had the privilege to go there two times and minister to the kids that they will be ministering to in a couple of weeks. Every year, they give a camp to about 100 teenagers who the majority are orphans, and they present the gospel. It's a camp called Unashamed Camp. But the problem with this camp is most of these kids cannot afford to go. And so that's where we come in. We would like to support each teenager to attend this camp. It's a gospel camp. They'll be able to hear the gospel. It's something that they've never get to experience throughout the year. They love it. They look forward to it. December is their summer. It's actually their summer break. This is their first summer week of vacation. And so it's going to be taking place here starting up on December 2nd. So what we need from you is 106 of you between our two services to volunteer to sponsor one of the children. The teenager's cost is $75, but we're asking you to support $50 to $75. Last year, we asked you to do $50, and the reason it's $75 this year is it's 2 days longer. So anyway, the cost is $75. You can see the details there in your bulletin, but as you leave today, you'll notice that there's Christmas trees out here in the lobby with ornaments. You need to simply take one of those ornaments, take it to the table so they know specifically who you are. Took, and then they'll give you a prayer guide specifically how to pray for them during this camp that they'll be at. So consider doing that. Again, we're going to ask you to do that this week and next, and it was a good response after our first service. Many took ornaments representing those kids and sponsored those kids. The last thing I want to say is we will also be doing a local mission project during Christmas for the Windsor Elementary School. That will be towards the end of the month, closer to Christmas time. More details about that coming in the weeks ahead. All right, I am glad that you are here. Thank you so much for coming here. If you're a guest, I look forward to meeting you maybe after the service. I'll be up here and would love to meet you. But again, thank you for being here. We're glad that you chose to worship with us. And now as we open up the Word of God, today specifically, we are going to conclude our Family Matters series. I hope that you've enjoyed this series. I know for me and my family, it has been a challenge. Specifically, it's been a challenge for me. God has brought these subjects close to my heart, something for me to personally apply. And in this series, as you know, we have talked about lots of different subjects. Today is our eighth week, and Family Matters deals with family issues or problems that sometimes arise within the family. And so we've talked about things like busyness, stress. We've talked about conflict, the fighting family. We've talked about the mouthy family, dysfunctional family. I'm sure your family doesn't struggle with any of these things. But my family and I, we have benefited from this, and it's been a great series. Today, we come to our final message of the series, which is called the iPhone family. The iPhone family. Basically, I want to share with you a message which I think could be one of the most biggest problems that we face individually or within our family. And the question that I'm simply asking this morning is a simple question. Does your phone affect you? Does your phone affect your kids? Is the phone today, in the culture that we live in, the digital age that we live in, is it having an effect on us? Now, before we dive in to this message which God has placed in my heart, I have to share with you three disclaimers. And I'm not trying to be over dramatic, but I just want to let you know, as your pastor, where I'm coming from. I purposely have been thinking about this message during the entire series, and I purposely put it last because I wanted to put the most time and study into it. It's something I've been thinking about, something I've been evaluating in my own life. The specific question, how is the phone affecting me specifically? And so here's a couple of things that God has brought to my attention that I just want to share to you with you as a disclaimer. First of all, number one, I realize that this message is not going to be popular, right? Especially if you're a millennial or you're a teenager here this morning, you're going to think that, oh my goodness, I thought Pastor Jeff was 45. When did he turn 90? I assure you, I don't have an axe to grind. I'm praying that my delivery won't come across like I have an axe to grind with cell phones or social media, because sometimes when preachers speak on these current topics, it comes across that they're against them. I'm not against them. Matter of fact, my sermon notes are on my cell phone this morning. How ironic is that? But I want to share that with you because God, I think, has revealed to me that although this message won't be popular, he's given me a peace in my heart that I still need to share it. And to encourage me, he's reminded me of the Old Testament prophet who at times was asked of God to share messages that weren't popular and perhaps even share it, though it could fall on deaf ears, because my job is to be faithful to God. And I just want to assure you, after much prayer, after much study, after much meditation, even this week I struggled with putting together an outline, although this has been on my mind and heart for a while, I do believe that God has led me specifically to this message. And I'm not trying to, again, be over dramatic, but of all the messages that I have presented in 22 years, I've never been so burdened about a subject in my life. I almost feel like at times I'm underwater and I come up for air when it comes to this subject. Which leads me to the second disclaimer. I, in no way, after all this study, in no way do I believe that I have mastered this or I'm a master of this subject. I want you to understand, and I hope, again, my goal is to present this as if I'm sitting next to you or sitting around a table and we're having a conversation. I realize it's a one-way conversation now, but I don't want you to think that I've figured this out or I've mastered this, because I'm telling you, if anyone needs this message this morning, it's me. And the third thing I want to say to you is, although I am targeting the cell phone, I realize there's a bigger problem. I understand that the influence that the cell phone can have on me is the same influence a TV, for instance, could have on me, the same influence a computer or the internet or music, for that matter, could have on me. I realize that the social media is a problem that has great influence on me, but here's the thing that ties all of it together. It's my phone. On my phone, I can get TV, I can get movies, I can get the internet. Have you ever realized you're never offline with your phone? Never. I have access to any music that I need. I have access to any source of entertainment. I can play any game that I want to play. And the fact of the matter is this. Everything that is available to me, that has an influence to me, is here on my phone. So therefore, I decided to target the phone. So with that being said, would you pray with me that number one, I would deliver what God has put on my heart. And then number two, that our hearts would be open to what God has to share with us this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. And thank you for this time that we can spend in your word. Lord, I pray that as I share some of the thoughts that you've put in my heart, as I share your word, that Lord, we would all just evaluate. That we would just stop in the next 30 minutes or so and just reflect upon your voice and what it is that you would like to say to us as it relates to this subject. And we'll thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I think when we're asking this question, does the phone affect me? Does the phone affect our kids? Is it affecting our family? We have to start with how much time are we spending on our phones? And really, this is where I've been the last couple of weeks. How much time am I actually spending on my phone? Some of you are aware that the iPhone has an option on there that's called screen time. And screen time answers that very question. It tells you on your phone how long you are actually on your phone. It tells you not only how long are you on your phone, but it also tells you what you're spending your time on, right? Some of you are thinking, well, the reason I'm on my phone is because I have the Bible app and I read it 10 hours a day. Well, your phone will tell you if you are actually on your phone for 10 hours a day, and you'll look at it and be like, oh my goodness, I'm only on the Bible app for one minute a day, but I'm on Facebook for 9 hours a day, right? It tells you how long and what you're specifically staying on. This hasn't come out very long. It's only been out this year. It's only been since the new update, the iOS 12. And for those of you who have updated your phone, for me, it was just a couple of weeks ago when I finally updated my phone and was able to see this feature. And so they did a study, and they studied 2,000 people, and they asked if they could see their screen time over an extended period of time. And they found that these 2,000 people, different walks of life, ready for this, averaged 6 hours and 43 minutes of screen time. Now, for some of you, you're like, oh my goodness, that's a lot. But I heard the teenagers over here say, that's it? And here's the point. I want you to think about it differently. I want you to think about it this way. Imagine you sleep for 8 hours, okay? That means you have 16 hours left, right? And whether you're a student or an adult, let's just pretend for hypothetical argument right now that you spend 8 hours of your day in school or 8 hours of your day at work. That leaves you with 8 hours left. And so for these 2,000 people that they did this study with, they made an assumption that they're sleeping for 8 hours and they're working for 8 hours. And so in the remaining 8 hours, this is where they calculated this, they discovered in the remaining 8 hours, 6 hours and 43 minutes of it is spent on their phones. Let that sink in just for a moment. There's other studies that came out just recently within the month. CBS News did a report. It made their nightly news. It was a featured story. And they came out with a report that they did the same study with teenagers, and the teenagers are averaging 9 hours a day on their phones. 9 hours a day. So when it comes to this question, is my phone affecting me? We could build an argument, and I want you to stay with me. Some of you are trying to digest this, but we could build a case that from the amount of time that we spend on it alone, yes, the answer is yes, it's affecting me, right? I don't care if your screen time says 2 hours or if it says 10 hours, right? We have to admit that when we spend time on something, it will affect us. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, during the 2 hours I'm on my phone or during the 10 hours I'm on my phone, it doesn't matter. Is there an assumption that everything that's coming out of my phone is bad? Is there an assumption that everything's negative? Isn't there something that could be positive? And the answer to the question, absolutely. Part of this time is very positive things. It's like encouraging your friends through text or, you know, maybe for us as Christians, the report came back that Christians, and again, don't brag on this one way or the other, but the average Christian has 200 to 300 Facebook friends. And the suggestion is a lot of Christians are using Facebook positively, posting scripture, for an example, and sharing the love of Christ. That's a very positive thing. I, for an example, every one of my messages are recorded online. And when I went over to Ethiopia, the missionary over in Ethiopia from time to time will get online and listen to my message and then share my message to the people over in Ethiopia. That's a great way to use phones and technology. So listen carefully. I'm not saying that just because you're on your phone that you're using it for bad purposes. There are some good purposes that are taking place. Matter of fact, one of the arguments that a lot of us have, and this is an argument that I've had with my own kids, is we usually talk this way. Is the phone really the problem, or is it the content coming from the phone? Have you ever heard that argument? Like, this was the argument back in the day when we went to movies. Remember, there were people, when you went to movies, they just assumed all movies therefore equaled evil, but the problem isn't necessarily the movie, it's the content coming from the movie. But I want to lay that argument aside just for a moment. We're going to talk about the content coming from our phone. I just want to talk about the amount of time we're on our phone, regardless of the content, whether it's positive or negative for a minute. Are you tracking with me? Okay. No, you're like, nope, I'm distracted with my phone right now, right? Okay. You can look it up on the internet when you go home, on your phone, and you can study report after report, and here's the reports that are coming back. Our cell phones, regardless of content, are causing physical problems. Do you know that since cell phones came out, specifically the iPhone came out in 2007, they have done studies, there have been more necks and back problems because of our tendency to look down at our cell phones? I'm not making this up, right? New report came out last month that if you use your phone before you go to bed, it is robbing you of your melatonin in your body, causing you to not sleep, which is then therefore leading to a lack of sleep, which is therefore leading to anxiety and depression. Nothing has to do anything with spiritual, it's just a physical report that's come out. Psychologically, they've done reports since cell phones, 2007, specifically 2007, because Apple came out with their iPhone in 2007, that, you ready for this? Anxiety and depression, suicide attempts and suicide have been on an increase of 70%. 70%. They've also showed problems with our behavior. Again, not just picking on teenagers, but this report came back from teenagers that teenagers today have a horrible time looking people in their eyes. They do not like face-to-face conversations. They become anxious and nervous when talking to adults, especially when someone looks at them in the eye, they will immediately look away. Try it when you go home with your teenager. Just stare at them in their eyes, see what happens. They would much rather look at their phone. Mom, just text me. Whatever you're gonna say, just text me. Right? I don't want the mom stare. But here's our purpose this morning, and I wanna make this clear. This message, although I could go on and on about the physical problems of a phone, and the behavioral problems and the psychological problems, is not why we are here this morning. My purpose for sharing what I want to share this morning is because I believe that our phones are having an effect on us spiritually. So when I ask the question, how is your phone affecting you? How is your phone affecting your kids? How is it affecting your families? I'm asking the question, how is it affecting us spiritually? And so through my study and through my reading and through my prayer and through my wrestling with this subject, I came up with five ways through the leading of the Holy Spirit that our phones are spiritually dangerous. Now, I think you know scriptures well enough that I can't just turn, for instance, to this case, Matthew 13. And Matthew 13, like, is going to be Jesus' words against or for, or, you know, cell phones. Hey, Jesus says to his disciples, I am for cell phones. Or Jesus says to his disciples, I am against cell phones, right? Like, we can't just find a passage of scripture, pull it out of context, and say, this is what God's word says to cell phones. But when it comes to current issues of our day, we can draw principles from the word of God that can then lead us and guide us, and we can make some intellectual and spiritual decisions as it relates to this current subject, cell phones. So with that being said, I hope you have a piece of paper, or I hope that you're good at turning back and forth in your Bibles, because I'm going to give you several scriptures that we're going to look at and we're going to turn to, or you need to write down. So principle number one is this. Danger number one is this. Your phone, number one, can spiritually distract you. It can spiritually distract you. Obviously, we know that it can physically distract you. It distracts us at work. How many times have you been at work? Have you been in a meeting? And the phone dings or rings, or maybe it's muted and it vibrates, and everybody in that room looks at the phone, right? We know physically, even at work, in meetings, we are easily distracted, right? School, many of the schools say that phones cannot be in the classroom. You can keep them in your locker, you can keep them in your backpack, but we don't want them in the classroom. Why? Because it's not helping the students learn, right? We know that phones distract us, obviously, when we drive. There's laws against texting and driving, but how many know that every one of us do it, right? We know it's not good. And if you just sit at a red light and look at left and right of you, look at people driving by, everybody is still on their phone, despite the laws. It's a distraction. That's why they made it a law. How many know when you go to a movie, what it says before a movie? Please turn off or silence your cell phone. Why? Because it becomes a distraction. I was at the mall the other day. I'm not proud of that statement, but I was, me and my wife. And you know, I had an option. I can sit on the bench with the other grumpy old men, or I can walk and try to find my wife, and I decided to do that option. And there was this guy walking literally about 50 feet from me with his cell phone, and he wasn't looking up, and I saw him, and I'm like, dude, I'm getting out of his way. And he was like staggering. Not that he was drunk, but it was almost like he was drunk. He was texting, and I couldn't shake this dude to the point that we collided. And he looked at me like, dude, what's your problem? I'm like, sorry. We all agree that cell phones physically distract us. But remember, here's our question as you study this and as we study this together. How are our phones spiritually distracting us? A report came out in 2016. And the report said that we will look at our cell phones every 4.3 minutes. Some of you are thinking, wow, that's not very much. I look at mine a lot more. Others of you are like, are you kidding me? I don't look at mine every 4 hours. But the average of the study, which came out in 2016, says that we will look at our cell phone every 4.3 minutes. Now, here's the point. Not if it dings or rings or whatever. None of that. Just if it doesn't ding or ring. They did a study. What do you do if your phone doesn't go off? You don't feel it vibrate in your pocket, or you don't hear it. What happens, every 4.3 minutes you will look at your phone, which means before I finish my sermon, you'll be tempted to look at your phone 8 times, according to this study. You say, well, I thought this is about spiritual distraction. No, I'm trying to build a case. We live in a day and age, which is called the digital age, where we have no choice but to have phones, right? I guess we have a choice, but we've chosen to have phones. We've chosen to have this technology. We've chosen to wake up with it. We've chosen to go to bed with it. We've chosen to walk around with it. We've chosen to go back and get it when we forget it. We've chosen to ask somebody for a charger when it runs out of battery, right? We've chosen to live with this technology. And the problem is it's training us, listen carefully, it's training us to be addicted to distraction. And when we are not distracted by it, we are conditioned to look at our phones every 4.3 minutes. You say, Pastor Jeff, again, how does this relate to us spiritually? I suggest to you that Satan's goal is to distract us from the spiritual with the earthly. His goal is to distract us from the heavenly with the earthly. He doesn't care if it's cell phones. He doesn't care if it's TV. He doesn't care what the means is. But I suggest to you that currently, in the culture and society which we are living in, he is using the phone more than any other thing to distract us spiritually. Now look at our text. Matthew chapter 13. The context of our passage is the parable of the farmer who's sowing seeds. And just to refresh your memory, and if you're not familiar with this parable, let me give you the crash course notes. A farmer goes out and he throws seeds on 4 types of soil, you'll recall. The first soil he throws it on is a path, and you recall that it doesn't go on into the soil because birds come and take the seed off that path or that road. The second soil the farmer throws the seed into is a rocky soil, and although it receives the seed and even springs forth a little bit of fruit, because of the environment, because the soil isn't very good, the sun withers it away and it doesn't last. The third soil is a thorny soil, very similar to the rocky soil, but the same thing happens. The seed absorbs and then it springs up, but it doesn't stay. And then finally is the good soil, the point of the parable. The good soil receives the seed and it's perfect for the seed. It's watered and it produces fruit. That's the goal, that it would produce fruit, right? And we know when we study this passage that Jesus is referring to the seed as the word of God, and the soil is our hearts. And he says we all need to be like the good soil. Our hearts need to be receptive of God's word. But one thing struck me when I was studying this week was the third soil, the thorny soil. I think there's a principle from this parable that relates to cell phones. Let me show you. Chapter 13, verse 22. The disciples are saying, we don't get it. And Jesus is like, all right, let me explain it to you. So verse 22, he explains, again, the third soil, the thorny soil. He says, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life. In other words, God is trying to plant the seed of his word into our hearts, but the reason we're not receiving it is because of the worries of this life. Satan's goal is to bring the worries of this life to our mind. Why? So that we do not receive the word of God. So we don't hear the voice of God. So if we are living in a world where we are conditioned to look at our phone because we are addicted to distraction, that means we are not giving God enough time to speak to our hearts so that we can hear his voice. It can, I'm not saying it is, but our phones can be a spiritual distraction because we have inadvertently developed spiritual ADD. We are not patient enough to sit by ourselves with the word of God so that he can speak to us. That's why we want a verse real quickly from Twitter. Give me a verse. Give me my Bible app, and I'm going to program my Bible app to flash up a verse so that in the hustle and bustle of my day, in between my tweets and in between my Facebook feeds, I can get a verse to pop up, and I got my verse a day to keep the devil away. We have failed to understand the discipline of being still and knowing God without distraction so that we can clearly hear the voice of God. When's the last time that you sat still enough to hear the voice of God? Not audibly, but speak to you through his word and through his spirit. Or are you so used to distraction that you just can't give God that focus? We're living in a day where we're not giving God adequate time to speak to our hearts clearly so that we can live the way he wants us to live. I'm just saying our phones can lead to distraction. Number two, our phones can also disembody us spiritually. You're like, ooh, I see where you're going. You're going to use all alliterations, all D's. You're right. You're on to me. So you're saying, okay, in your alliteration, what in the world do you mean by it spiritually can disembody you? How can my phone spiritually disembody me? Let me explain it to you this way. Maybe this is what you need to write down. It's possible to share the same space and not be in the same place. Are you with me? Okay. Some of you are here right now, but you're not here right now. You understand what I'm saying? You can physically be in this room, but mentally be somewhere else, can't you? You can be physically present, but not mentally engaged. point in case is a couple days ago, I was in Panera and I was sitting at a round table like this, and there was another round table right next to me that I didn't think anyone would sit by because it was so close to my table, and I have books and Bibles, and you know, people think I'm a religious nut in Panera, like, dude, don't you have an office? But I'm like, you have such good coffee and I just love it here. And it was crowded. There was only one table left, and this couple came up. I mean, this older couple came up, and they sat down, and they said, and I quote, "Man, this is nice. I can't think of the last time we've been on a date." And I thought, like, this is so sweet. Like, I'm on a date with this couple. Like, I hope they don't mind. And so I kindly got out my headphones, and I'm thinking, man, I don't want to hear what's going to go on in their date, and like give them a little bit of privacy. But as I'm fumbling, trying to find my headphones, they say a couple things to each other, but they both pull out their phones. And they just start scrolling through. And I bet you they didn't say 10 words to each other the entire time they ate their lunch. And I'm thinking to myself, that's an example of sharing the same space, but not being in the same place. You and I are no different. Our family gets into our car. What happens when we're sharing a space, but all of us have our headphones in, or our kids have their headphones in, or our kids have their phones out. And although we're sharing that space, we're in different places. Wherever Twitter has taken me, or wherever the internet's taken me, or wherever the game's taken me, that's the place where I'm mentally engaged. We do it at dinner. That's what I mean when we are disembodied. We're more used to, ready for this? Ignore the person right in front of us and give preference to the person who's not in front of us. We're okay with ignoring the needs of the person directly in front of us to take the call from the telemarketer who we don't know. We're not comfortable when we're having a one-on-one conversation with somebody and our phone rings. We're not comfortable with not looking. We're not comfortable with sending it to voicemail. We cut off the person we're with, body to body, face to face, devaluing them to prioritize whoever it is that's calling us at that moment. We're living in a society where it's more and more normal to be disembodied, to share space but not be in the same place. I want you to turn quickly to 2 John 12. 2 John 12. You're like, there's not 12 chapters in 2 John. I know that. There's only one chapter. It's verse 12. 2 John, technically you don't say chapter 1, but for your benefit and mine, chapter 1, verse 12. It's only 13 verses in the entire book. But verse 12 speaks to this principle, which is such words of wisdom from John. John says, "I have much more to say to you," right? I mean, you understand, he wrote the Gospel of John, he wrote 1 John, he wrote 3 John. He's like, I got more to say. Like, you know, they didn't have chapters back in the day, but he would be saying, I could really fill up this book. I could have several more chapters. But look what he says. I find this intriguing. I have much more to say to you, but I don't want to do it with paper and ink. For I hope to visit you soon and talk with you face to face. John says, listen, there's some value in paper and ink. There's some value in letter writing. Perhaps there's some value, I'm not saying there is or isn't, in FaceTime. There's some value to communicating on our phones. But there's more value face-to-face. And then he adds something, then our joy will be complete. Have you ever noticed that you're meaner to people when you're not face-to-face? Have you noticed that you're more willing to text and to email mean things than say it face to face? I know Pastor John spoke on this, but don't you think as a Christian, we should act a little bit differently? I'm not saying that this is your problem. I'm saying that this is a problem that God has brought to my attention, that spiritually, I find that my phone is causing me to ignore my neighbor. That when a person is too complex or too needy or too difficult, it's much easier to go to my phone. It's easier to come in here and sit down with my phone and scroll through my phone than to get up and walk three rows over and say, "Hey, my name is Jeff. What's your name?" I'm under the conviction that God has put me on this earth on a path to rub shoulders with people. That God is bringing people on my path, not so that I can ignore them and withdraw from them, but so that I can love them. I have to be present with my body to make an impact the way that I believe God wants me to make an impact. Again, doesn't mean I can't make an impact with my phone, but there's something about face-to-face. Number three, it can desensitize you. Our phones obviously are desensitizing you. Earlier I said I wasn't going to talk about content too much, but this is the time of the sermon I am going to talk about content. Because of time, I'm going to ask you to write down the verse. It's Proverbs 4:23. You're familiar with this verse. I love this verse. I share it often. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life." I find it interesting. When I was in seventh grade, my Bible teacher was so upset because when I was in seventh grade, they allowed live women to model underwear. Up to that point, if you were going to sell underwear on a commercial, it had to be on a mannequin. And my Bible teacher was so upset. And I'm thinking about my Bible teacher as it relates to today's commercials. Are you kidding me? How many times have you turned off the TV because of a commercial? How many times have you dove for the eyes of your children because of a commercial? But here's the thing. When I was growing up, the only way that I could possibly view pornography was through a magazine. Not even through the TV because we didn't have cable. Back in our day, I'm really sounding old, there was like three channels. Rabbit ears. Dude, hold it that way. Go get a piece of tinfoil, put it on it. Right? And there was nothing bad on TV back in the day. But then I remember cable came along and I started down that road that so many of my friends went down. Like, hey, my friend has a TV in his room and he's got cable. And my parents are like, over my dead body. I'm not putting cable in your room. Are you kidding me? And then computers came and internet on commuters. And as a youth pastor, I'm advising parents, don't you dare put a computer in your kid's bedroom with the internet because you have no idea what can come through that computer. But guess what? Every single one of us has a device which is constantly putting things before our eyes. Because the enemy knows the truth that God is trying to teach us this morning, that the eyes are the door and the window of our heart. And what we see goes directly to our hearts and will fill our hearts up to the point where we will become desensitized and start living this way. We take our phones everywhere, including to the bathroom. And studies have shown that Christians who struggle with viewing the wrong things on their phone, a lot of times it's happening behind the locked door of a bathroom because there's an assumption that no one can see what you're clicking with your thumbs and viewing with your eyes. And we figured out how to erase histories, and we figured out how to cover our trails, and I'm just gonna say this in love, church, you might be fooling every single person and you might know how to delete every single inquiry that you've made on your phone, but God, my friends, sees it all. Be careful what you view through your phone. Oh, what's the big deal? I just saw it quickly. It was an advertisement. I just swiped it right away. The big deal is, you visually saw it. It was a window, a door into your heart. It's not about how many times you see it. It's the fact that you saw it. It can desensitize your heart. Be careful, my friends. Number four, it can deceive you. I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 12. because I want you to specifically to understand what I'm talking about when I speak about deception. John chapter 12, verse 42. How'd you like that stutter there? Somewhere in the 40s. We'll go to 42. John chapter 12. I'm getting there. Good news, we're done. Almost 5 minutes. John chapter 12, verse 42 says this. Many people did believe in him. Who are we talking about? Jesus. Many people did believe in him. However, including some of the Jewish leaders, but they wouldn't admit it for the fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than the praise of God. The number one study that's coming back today is this. Why are people so addicted to Facebook or social media? But we're going to pick on Facebook just for a moment. And the answer is, the number one reason that people are addicted to Facebook or social media for that matter is because of their need and desire for approval. That's why we don't post pictures unless they're absolutely perfect. Or if we know that they're so ridiculous and so funny that others would like that more than our perfect picture, then we'll post it. The reason we post pictures, according to this study, is so that we can get likes and shares. And the reason after you post, the reason you are so conditioned to refresh is so that you can see, is anyone else noticing me? Does anyone know that I'm alive? Does anyone see me? Does anyone like me? Does anyone love me? And the problem with our phone, especially with social media, I'm not saying that it's all bad. I'm just saying one of the problems, the studies that's coming back, is that it is a problem because we are living for the approval of man. We're living for the applause of man instead of the approval of God. Listen carefully. Our minds are deceived that thinking the most important thing in life is being liked by this world. Listen carefully, Christian. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the world should have unfollowed you by now. Let that sink in. The world does not love Jesus, therefore the world will not love the followers of Jesus. But we are so in tune with what the world says is in and out and popular and not popular, and our hearts crave to be seen and known and liked and loved, that we are looking at visible things more than the invisible thing, which is Jesus Christ God. And we are spending our time on our phones, illustrating that we are living more for the earthly than we are the heavenly. And we have to be careful because we're being deceived and we're thinking that the most important thing is the here and now. And that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is living on this earth here and now for eternity. And we can easily be deceived that the goal of life is the approval of man, when the goal of life is not the approval of man. The goal of life is to magnify God. Amen? You could live your entire life with not one person liking anything you posted or one person not liking you, but as long as you understand that because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross and coming out of that grave, you need him to like you and love you. That's all that matters. Amen? And we get so hung up on what he said and she said, and we get hung up on all this stuff. At the end of the day, we need to live for the approval of man. And number four, oh, we're on four. That's good. Number five, team, come up. It can dominate you. Write this verse down. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. You're familiar with this verse. It says, Paul's having an argument and people are trying to use their Christian liberty and they're trying to have a debate. Well, should I buy meat from these guys because they, you know, they made it for idols, and, you know, some people are saying, yeah, but I'm getting a good deal on meat. The idol's worthless. It doesn't matter where I buy meat from, but stay with me, church. Stay with me. Don't tune me out because I got something I want to share at the very end. The argument is this. Hey, since I'm in Christ, isn't all things permissible? And Paul's like, you're asking the wrong question. The question is, not are all things permission. Not should you do this or should you do that. Should I go to movies? Should I watch TV? Should I have a cell phone? Should I be on social media? That's not the question. The question is it mastering you? Is it dominating your life? And church, this is my conclusion, Jeff Stimson's conclusion. The point where this week I took my wife Carrie out to lunch and I said, I'm just sick. I'm sick. I feel like I've been drowning and I finally am getting some breath of air because the cell phone has been dominating me. And the conclusion that I've come into is this, is that God has created me in his image. And he's filled me with his spirit and his goal is to make me look more and more like Jesus Christ. And so here's the thing. Listen carefully. When I'm bored, where do I turn? Oh man, this is the punch in the gut. I'm created in the image of God. I've been saved by the Son of God. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I'm being conformed to this image of Jesus Christ. But when I'm bored, man, I go right to my phone. It's almost like God's not enough. God doesn't satisfy me. It's almost like my phone has become the idol. It's become the thing that's dominated my life. It's a thing that we have to have at Christmas. It's the thing that we have to update. It's the thing that we have to improve. We gotta have the latest. It's a thing we'll pay the majority of our paycheck for. And it's just a device, but the question I've been asking is this device becoming my vice? Is this device coming my vice? Am I becoming a slave to a tool, or am I surrendering and submitting my life to God? Am I being mastered by my phone? And so I've come up with three solutions that I'm trying to apply to my own life, and I want to encourage you to apply these to your life, apply them to you individually, apply them to your family's life. Three simple things that we can do as a result. Since we're aware that our phones can spiritually distract and disembody and desensitize and deceive and dominate us, because of that, then can't we agree to do three things? Number one, unplug. Unplug. I love Mondays. Mondays are my day off. Mondays, for me, are like your Saturdays. It's just a day where you're not working, you're like, you work more than Sunday? Yeah, I do. But Mondays are my day off, and it's a day that I unplug. I love unplugging on Monday. Saying no to the phone, leaving the phone behind, not being distracted by the phone, turning the phone off. I'm not always successful at it, but trying to unplug. Number two is fast. Fast from your phone. Now, scripturally, the Bible talks about fasts in reference to food. And the concept is you give up food, something earthly that you're dependent upon, so that you can focus on Jesus, something heavenly, right? And so the concept is, what is it earthly that's weighing me down so that I can focus on Jesus more in the heavenly purposes? So what about your phone? What about giving up your phone? What about during lunch, instead of being on your phone, what about turning off your phone during lunch and just spending time with God in an old school, good old fashioned Bible? See, I just turned 90, didn't I? So you unplug and you fast. And now, number three, after you unplug and see what kind of benefits that does for you, see how you receive joy back, see how that helps you, because that's what I'm learning. I didn't realize until I unplugged that I was drowning. It's like, I can breathe again. And then I fast from it from time to time and turn it off so I can spend time with Jesus. That leads me to number three, setting limits. Here's what I've learned through my study. If this phone, and listen carefully, some of you teenagers and college students, adults who are mad at me right now, listen carefully, I hope to win you back. I'm not against phones. Because if this phone doesn't distract this heart, something else will. Something else will. So I need to learn how to manage the earthly distractions, because I'm not on this earth for the worldly goals. So if you think it's as simple as, hey, let's take our phones after church and let's go smash them. Yay! That's not it. It's how do I manage it? How do I set time limits? Maybe it means for you, you have to give it up. I talked to somebody in the first service. Their teenager on their own decided just a week ago to give up their phone for 2 weeks. And they're doing well so far. I don't know what your conclusion is, but we have to set limits. We got to make sure that this thing is not dominating us. It's not controlling us. And so I want to be a resource to you. I want to be helpful to you. I have two books that I encourage you to write down that might help you in this area. Something that you could purchase online. Isn't that ironic? Hey, go to Amazon and purchase it. Or you can try Lifeway, but I would suggest Amazon. First book is this. Renke, Tony Renke. Renke. 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. This is the book that I basically read in 2 days. I couldn't put down. This is the eye-opener for me. Incredible, incredible resource that just really woke me up. Number two, Plugged In Parenting. Plugged In Parenting is a very good resource, especially for the broader subject. Okay? Plugged In Parenting gives you advice from a biblical standpoint on media in general, from social media to TV to movies to policies, contracts, practical things that you can set up with your young one and your teenager. I have these two books that I will leave up here that you can look at after the service. If you want to thumb through the context and look at those, you're more than welcome to do that. But I encourage you to find something to help you. And if nothing else, would you please just start a conversation? Start it with your spouse, start it with your kids, and let's make sure that this tool is not a tool of the enemy that's stopping us from the mission that God has asked us to do. Amen? Church, thanks for letting me share my heart. Let's stand and pray and close out our service with a song. Father, thank you for this time that we can spend in your word and on a really hot topic, a very current issue. Lord, I pray that you would help us to sort it out in our minds and in our lives. Help us to figure out if there are vices, things that we're addicted to. And I realize, Father, I picked on the phone this morning, but Lord, I'm fully aware there's other addictions in our life that aren't healthy. And so, Lord, we're so grateful for the Spirit of God who challenges us and convicts us. We thank you for this series. We pray, Father, that you would use it in many ways. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.